Reading Haggai chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Josedek, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labour of the hands. Well, this chapter is about the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And that temple had been destroyed when the Babylonians just came and took the Jews captive, and they took them off to Babylon for 70 years. And in the meantime, the temple had been knocked down, and Jerusalem was a ruin. It was a waste. And now, amazingly, 70 years later, in accordance with promises made to the Jews by God, through Jeremiah, taken up by Daniel, the Lord graciously restored the Jews to their homeland. And you've got those songs of ascent that we sung that psalm, didn't we? Psalm 126, it's one of them. That may be one of the songs after the captivity. There's Psalm 127, if you bear with me just a moment. Just try and get the check it. Verse two, yes, well, there's the when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion at Psalm 126, verse 1. We were like them that dream. So that, and then there was by the rivers of Babylon, and I can't remember where that psalm is, when they were looking back to Jerusalem, which when they were in captivity. There we are, Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. So they had returned now from Babylon. Can you imagine what it's like? Children, you can think of perhaps when you've been away somewhere strange and you're coming home, and how excited you are to come home. Can you think of times like that when it's been really good to get home? And I know that one of the girls was grateful for going to the Philippines this year, and Ira, yes, and what you maybe felt like going there and seeing the family again, and the joy of being reunited together. We've all had it, haven't we? It was wonderful to have family reunions, but this was more than that. Even this was returning home after 70 years of being banned from your country. Can you imagine that? It's more than that. 70 years from not being able to worship in the temple of God. Then we read in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel. How precise that was. The second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built, So they'd gone back, and it seemed that they hadn't done anything about the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem. In fact, if we read in Ezra, that they actually started to build within a year of returning. So they had started, in fact. They'd laid the foundation. We read in verse 10 of Ezra chapter 3, "Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, Levites were appointed to begin the work of the Lord." And then we read, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel, their clothing, with trumpets, and the Levites, sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel." So what we read is that they in fact had started building the temple. They laid the foundations. I don't know whether you've ever seen a house being built, but it always starts with the foundations. And this building here will have foundations. It will go, I don't know how many feet underground. And you need to get the foundations right before you can build the rest of the building. And so they'd started that. But then, unfortunately, the work stopped. And that was because in Ezra chapter 4, verse 21, we read that the court of Persia, it was the Medes and the Persians, were in control. It had been the Babylonians, but then the Medes and Persian Empire, the empire of the Medes and Persians took over and destroyed Babylon, and they became the big empire. They became rulers who could determine when Israel would be returned from their captivity, of course only under the Lord, and so they were, the king, I think it was Artaxerxes, he gave an order to cause the men to stop building, and we read in verse 21 that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. So King Artaxerxes, because of the enemies of the Jews, they didn't want the house of God being built. And we know in this country that there are those who don't want churches being built. We already had prayers. Someone prayed about the building next door and praying that the gospel would be what people hear and not other religions like Islam. But there are people who don't want churches here. They want to see mosques. They might want to see Roman Catholic churches. They might want to see Hindu temples, but they don't want to see the gospel churches being planted. And so there will be opposition. There was opposition in the Jews' day. And they were told to stop building. When we're told to stop doing things which are difficult, and it must have been difficult to build the temple, after all, it's going to be a very large building, and it would have taken a long time, and people might have thought, we've got a reprieve. The Lord has telling us not to build because we've got to obey the law. Well, sometimes we have to resist the law. Sometimes when we're told not to do something that God has told us to do, well, what did Peter say? Well, we will obey God and not man. And sometimes it may happen in all our lives when we are made to choose between being faithful and obedient to God and to obeying man. And if there is a conflict like that, then we must obey God and not man. It could be at school. It could be in our jobs. It could be in any other area of our lives. And these Jews reckoned that their time had not come. And we need to be careful, don't we, about putting off work that needs to be done. Many a good work is put by, in other words, is stopped by being put off. And one of those awful things, isn't it? What's that phrase? Mañana. Tomorrow. Mañana. Tomorrow that never comes. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And it can be a way of nothing being done, can't it? Think of Felix in Acts. I think it's Acts 26. We'll just turn there very briefly. No, it's not Acts 26. Maybe Acts 23. Let me just see, someone will get there, I'm sure, if they get there before I do. Here we are, it's chapter 24. And this is what we read in verse 25. This is Paul. Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, that self-control, and judgment to come. So he was being told, Felix was being told the gospel by Paul. And Felix trembled. When did you last hear somebody trembling when they heard the gospel? Why would they have trembled? Well, if you hear that you're going to hell because of your sin, and you believe it, then it should make you tremble. I wonder if you've trembled at anything. Maybe you've been had to climb a ladder, and you get to the top and you look down and you tremble because you don't want to fall off it. Well, this is worse, isn't it? This is not climbing a ladder and looking down, but literally this is looking down into the pit of hell and realizing that that's where your sins will take you. And he trembled. His knees, as it were, must have knocked together. Did he do anything about it? He could have done, couldn't he? Because the command was to repent. But what does he say? As Paul reasoned with him, Felix answered, "Go thy way for this time. Go away. I'm not going to do anything today. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." Not going to deal with it today. And that's a danger for us, isn't it? We'll put off what we must do today for another day. And particularly for our souls, putting off giving our lives to Christ, serving him effectively, because we'll do it tomorrow and not today. Well, we need to be careful of those two points, don't we? Putting things off because we believe providence, God is leading us not to do things, when in fact it's not God at all. It's just that we're not pressing through. We're letting men's opposition get in the way. God may be testing us, and we must press through and not be put off by even legal barriers to doing what God wants us to do. And then we can find excuses for not obeying the gospel, like Felix. Then we see how God contended with them, how he didn't just leave them, but he made life difficult for them. You see, we read in verse 10, if we go back to Haggai, verse 10 of chapter 1, things went wrong. They were just interested in their own houses, in their own lives, and so things didn't go as they expected. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew. That means dew is what you wake up. I don't know, if you live in the city, you won't have seen much dew. But dew comes up in the morning in the fields. And it actually comes down from the it comes down from the air. So it does. The dew does descend on the ground. It's from damp air, and it's really fresh and lovely to see it. And you need it, especially if you haven't got rain. And so if you've got no dew, life is going to be very dry. There's going to be a terrible drought. The earth is stayed from her fruits. You see, we need, man can work as hard as he likes. But if God withholds cooling rain, if he causes the sun to just to be day in, day out, sunshine, then it's going to spoil men's labour. You see, God has a way of speaking to us, doesn't he? Of calling our attention to him. And we must be aware that meat for the belly, well, we're all going to have a meal, I think, prepared by our guests. I'm sure it'll be a lovely meal, but is that what we've come to? Are we here just to fill our bellies? And we get many good meals here, something that our sister remembered in prayer. And it's wonderful that people care for us and feed us. But if we were just at church for food for our stomachs, how awful would that be? See, meat for the belly. I mean, once you've had a meal, well, you might go home and sleep well on your meal, but next morning you'll be up and you'll be hungry again. It's not going to do anything for us long term, is it? But you see, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, we read a very precious promise about work. There is a kind of work which has value. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not in the work of your hands, just to try and get another day's labour. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. When we do the Lord's work, it's never in vain. It's going to be remembered. God will open a book of remembrance. And on the day of judgment, those works will be remembered. They'll come out. Remember that the race is not to the swift, nor labour to the strong. And we're to labour for the meat which endures to eternal life. And this is what God wants us to do, isn't it? It's what he wants to do for 2020. And we can be sure of nothing in this world. You know, the Bible talks about if we store things up for ourselves. Well, I've done that in the past, and that verse, moth and rust corrupts, has been true. Moths have got in and destroyed a number of clothes that I've owned. And rust corrodes metal, and thieves break in and steal and destroy. But rather, what we should be doing is laying up treasure. Is not laying up treasure on earth in a bag, it says here, with holes. And that's the problem, isn't it? Let me just find that verse. I'm sorry, just a moment, please.
Six.
Thank you, verse 6. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. What a waste of money that is. It's literally money down the drain. But we are rather to provide for ourselves bags that wax not old. So that's where, in Luke 12, verse 33, that's the what we should be laying up for ourselves, for the future, for our eternal future, not concerned with our future in this world primarily. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Well, why did God contend with them? It's because his house was lying in ruins. The foundation laid, as we've heard, but the building not going on. And I can remember vividly when we used to visit my grandparents, my grandmother in Madeira, and there was a building opposite her block of flats, and it was, not sure whether it was going to be a car park or a cinema. We thought it was going to be a cinema, and it was laid there for years with nothing. They built part of it, partially built, but then somebody must have run out of money, and it wasn't completed. And doesn't it remind us of when we start a work, we need to count the cost and not start and then give up. And there's the classic verses in Luke 14 to remind us. Verse 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." And friends, we must make that decision, haven't we? For 2020, how are we going to live? How are we going to spend ourselves in 2020? Are we going to be half-hearted, doing our own thing? Are we going to serve the Lord? Are we going to continue what we started in 2019? Or are we going to lay off the work and get on with our own things? You see, the problem was that everyone was just had given up on the Lord's house, and they were just building their own. And the danger here is that those who neglect and postpone things won't only lose them, but other things can be taken away as well. So we mustn't be those who seek our own more than God's. And that's what the problem that Paul had in Philippi, wanting to send someone to Philippi, and he had to send Timothy because everybody else cared about their own things. Only Timothy cared about the things of others, of Jesus Christ. Where's our care? Are we going to be reliable witnesses for the Lord Jesus, that the Lord can send us because we're reliable and we care about the things of the Lord and not our own things? And then the reproof. And this is what brought me to this passage in verse 4. "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" Well, they were concerned just to do up their own houses, to paint and to decorate. And in Matthew Henry, you read a rather quaint phrase, to wainscot. That means to put panels, wooden panels in the house. It's lovely to see old houses with wooden panels. But they were concerned to live in luxury, in great comfort, and at the expense of the house of God. Yet, think how different that was to David, who David didn't want to build, to live in that. He wasn't easy living in a house of cedar while the Ark of God was in curtains. Read that in 2 Samuel 7, verse 2. And Solomon, he built the temple before he built his palace. Well, we're very unwise if we are more interested in the things of this life than we are in our spiritual lives, which of course last into eternity. Let's be those who care for God's cause and not our own. Well, then there's the good counsel. we need to consider our ways. That's verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And that's a good thing for us to do at the end of 2019, to consider our ways. In what way have we provoked God to break in, as it were, upon our comforts, to disturb us because we haven't been giving our all to him? There's just a few verses. Psalm 119, verse 59. It's three verses just to look at briefly. Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I thought of my ways. I thought of the things I've done wrong, where I've walked in my own way and not in God's testimonies. Then Lamentations 3, verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search and try our ways. As we come to the end of 2019, let's search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And then finally, Proverbs 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. And we must be slow to see the failings of others, but fail to see our own. As Paul wrote in Galatians 6, verse 4, let everyone prove their own work. Let everyone test their own work. We need to test ourselves before we look at others. Well, the Lord would have the people of Israel to reform. Verse 8, go up to the mountains and bring wood. He wanted them to go up and to collect wood, not for their houses, but for the temple, and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. How wonderful to be doing a work that glorifies God. That's what he said. It was his house, and he would be glorified in it. Wonderful, isn't it? This was my house, his house, not anybody else's. And we should consider the Lord's work and the Lord's house. Now, this is a building which, it's just a building, isn't it? But it is a building. The purpose of this building here at Stranger's Rest is for the Lord's work, not for any other reason. And so what a privilege we have to be part of that work. We must ask ourselves, how can we do better next year? We might see, of course, the building itself is just a shell without the people. We want to see God build his church within this building, which he has so graciously given us. And I was just reading a prayer letter from Nigeria and reflecting as they were talking about a prayer for a building they were looking to get. And I thought to myself, you know, how blessed we are to have our own building here in the heart of London. Our own building. Of course, it's not our building, is it? It's the Lord's building. So we need to honour the Lord, that all that we do would be accepted by him. So just very briefly, we're coming to an end. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. We may be accepted by God. Our work would be accepted by him. He would be honoured by them, building the temple, his house. That's how God would be honoured. And it's rather lovely, isn't it, to know that there is a way in which God can be honoured. There is a work that we can do that God will be pleased with. He's given us a work, each one of us. May we discover what that is for 2020 and to walk in his ways, that at the end of 2020 we'll be able to look back, as I hope we can look back to some degree this year, and see the marvellous acts of God, the way God has intervened, the way God has helped us, the way God has brought increase in his work. And as a result, of course, blessing will flow for each of us then. We will find that he takes his hand of judgments, chastisement, discipline off us. Things will go well for us because his work is being done as our first priority. Amen.